trust that is the prayer of your heart as you've come here this morning. And the Lord will answer that prayer through His Word as we listen and apply it to our lives. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. As I've gone over this message, I believe it's going to be a little bit shorter than I normally preach. But I don't make any promises, as always. Who knows what will happen if the point goes a little bit longer. But the way I originally had a longer message, two parts, and I was going to give it both this morning. But I'm going to save the second part for this evening. I think it will break out better and leave you with truth that I want to leave you with this morning. And because that's the case, I hope you always give full attention to the preaching of God's Word. But this morning you're going to see the steps that you need to take to live the Christian life. And if you've never taken the step to become a Christian, you need to listen this morning. It's not going to be long. But a message like this is the most important message you will ever hear. And if as a believer you're struggling with walking the Christian life, struggling with contentment, listen this morning. Give me your full attention. Give the Lord your full attention this morning. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. This passage here gives the main points of this letter that Paul writes to the Colossians. And the main point is this, that Jesus Christ is all that we need. He is all that we need. He said that He is the way, He is the truth, and that He is the life, and that He is the only way to the Father. And so He is all that we need. If you have received Christ, you don't have to look anywhere else to find a stable foundation for life, to find meaning in life and purpose. You don't have to look anywhere else to find something where you can somehow get contentment, somewhere to rest, some place for confidence. You can rest all of your life and your hope and your plans and your future and everything. You can fully rest it in Christ. He's all that you need. He's all that you need. With Christ, you are complete. And don't let anyone else come along and lead you away from Christ. And you can be sure that they will come. We'll see later some of the various arguments and persuasive speeches and theories that people will use and society will use and false religion will use to get you to step away from simply resting in Christ and realizing that you're complete in Him. In fact, the rest of chapter 2 lays out some of these arguments and some of these philosophies that we see in society will get you distracted from Christ. And verse 8 says that we need to beware. We need to have a heads up. Because people are going to try to pull you away from Christ. And they're going to do it in subtle ways. I took David to basketball practice yesterday. And one of the drills that he did, learning how to dribble with all the other kids there, was one called knockout. And they got a hat on one side of the gym. And I'm helping coaching this team. And the kids were to dribble the ball with one hand and try to steal the ball from the other kids that are dribbling. So there's 20 kids out there. They all have a ball they're dribbling, and they're all trying to steal the ball. And if they steal the ball, then you're out. And you could call it knocked out, or you could call it heads up. Okay? You got to be looking and protecting that ball. And eventually, as it got down to fewer and fewer people, eventually they were just in the small area between the foul line and the baseline, that key area underneath the basket. And I think David was like one of the last ones. He did a great job. But that's the idea of here. Beware. Heads up! Protect the truth. Protect the simplicity that all you need is Christ, because there are going to be those coming around trying to steal it away. And Paul is very concerned, and this letter written from the Holy Spirit through Paul should cause us to be concerned. And it's interesting that although Paul refers to these false teaching, he summarizes them. He doesn't spend many words to explain all about them. And we're going to be looking at them in weeks to come. So let me just give you the four categories. All right, we're not going to break this open this morning, but here are the four categories. The first one, beginning in verse 8, we need to be aware of, is philosophy built apart from God's revelation, apart from the truth of Scripture. Okay, people will come with their traditions and their old religions, their basic religions, and the traditions that have been built up beyond God's Word, added to God's Word, or apart from God's Word. Beware of that. Secondly, starting in verse 16, legalism. Works-based religions, systems based on human achievement or morality apart from Christ. Thirdly, mysticism, starting in verse 18. Those systems and those theories that focus on experience and visions. And I've had this communication with this spirit being, and this spirit being told me that this is what you need to do. Okay, the idea, we call it like New Age religions. Mysticism that focuses on experience and revelation that you get from forces apart from the Scripture. Beware of that. Okay, and lastly, starting in verse 20, a life of self-denial. Those systems that say the way to be right with God, what you need to do is extreme requirements. And there are some religions that have things like people have sat on poles for 30 years, you know, way up in the air. They've deprived themselves of all the normal things of life. And all of this is part of their religious system. And Paul said, you don't need it. Okay? All you need is Christ. And so Paul just touches on these false teachings. But he spends most of his words explaining that Jesus Christ is superior and that he is sufficient. And we get a good clue here, a good key about how to deal with error. How do we ultimately avoid these errors? And that is focus on Jesus Christ. If we learn that Jesus Christ is superior, we realize that he is sufficient, then we're not going to be looking for anything more. The better and more fully you understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, you're not going to be looking anymore. Anywhere else. The better you understand, as the prophet Isaiah says, that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. When you realize that and learn of him and come to fully grasp that, you're not going to be looking anywhere else. And so that is ultimately the defense against false religion. This paragraph that begins in verse 6 in this letter begins by giving us a wonderful word picture of how to live the Christian life. And it's simply this: walk in Christ. Walk in Christ. There really should be really nothing more basic than walking. Just walk in Christ. And here, walking refers to the way we live our life, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we pass through the days and the circumstances of life, the way we walk around through life. And what do we need to remember if we are to move through life correctly? We need to remember to walk in Christ. Paul is saying this. He's saying, here's Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Just stick with him. Grab hold of him. Follow him. Rest in him. Lean hard on him. Live for him. Obey him. Trust him. Just stick with Christ. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we walk in him? How do we just stick with Christ? And the text tells us. It's found right there in verse 6. You read it again. As you therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. How do you walk with Christ? How do you live the Christian life? Well, how did you start the Christian life? Just keep doing that. It's mentioned here in the text, we receive. That means we grab hold of. The idea of you opened the door of your life to Christ. You welcomed him for who he is. the Lord, the Savior. You trusted Jesus as, and he's called here, what he says, Jesus Christ. As you therefore received Jesus Christ. Remember, Christ is not Jesus' second name, like Bob Emberly. All right? Jesus, the Christ. Christ is a term that's associated with Jesus. It tells us who he is, that he is the promised Messiah. And so when you received Jesus, you received him as the Messiah, the one that was promised from the beginning, that would come and be our deliverer and save us from sin. You came to see from Scripture that this is the Savior. He is the Christ. In fact, the whole Gospel of John was written for that purpose. John 20, 31. The last verses in the book of John says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing you might have life through his name. There came a point where from Scripture you came to see that Jesus was not just another man, another great philosopher or teacher, another system, that he is the Christ. And you received him that way. You accepted him. In fact, the verse that's in our bulletin each week, 1 Corinthians 15, where we hear the gospel explained. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And so you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You received him. You welcomed him into your life. But also, the text says, Jesus Christ, the Lord. You received him as your Savior, as the Christ, and you called on the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13 says. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. You submitted to him as the Lord. He is the maker and master of all, and so you recognize that he is the maker and master of me. This is what it means to receive him. You had been going your own way. You were walking, not in Christ, you were walking solo. Right? Passing through life, making decisions without any reference to Christ, Jesus as Lord, you may have recognized the truth. You know, okay, all right, I've heard of Jesus and that people say he's God, but you're pretty much living your life the way you think. You were going your own way. That's how you were walking. But you turned from the sin of going your own way and to the submission of going his way. And you were joined with Jesus Christ by faith. You welcomed him into your life. That's the first step. Have you done that? Have you received Jesus Christ, the Lord? If you've done that, and you're getting what I'm describing, you know what I'm talking about as far as receiving and welcoming and following and accepting Jesus for who he is, now you've done that. Now just keep walking with him. Continue to exercise your faith. That's how you live the Christian life. Put your faith in practice. One step at a time. The first step, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You've done that, haven't you? All right. Now what do? You keep doing that. What's the next step? Keep following. Keep trusting. Keep obeying. Keep hanging on to Christ. Keep leaning on him. Keep resting on him. Keep living for him. Keep walking with him. And you know, I don't know where those steps will take you. Okay, everyone's life, as they walk about life, they go different directions as far as different circumstances come into their life. But you're always with Jesus. You keep walking with him. I do know this, that there will be trials, most definitely. And there will be uncertainty, and there will be frustrations, and there will be hard tasks, and there will be disappointments, and there will be failures. What do you do in all that? Keep walking with the Lord. Keep looking to him. Keep resting in him. And that is a perfect, simple description, accurate, biblical description of what the Christian life is all about. That's how you live the Christian life. Where do you look when you face temptations? Look to Christ. He's all you need. Where do you look when you fail? Well, you will fail. When you're walking around and you think you got it all together, and then what inevitably happens is you take your eyes off Christ and you say, you can handle this morality thing. You can handle the decisions of life. And you're going solo, although you claim to be walking in Christ, but you're not looking to Him. You're not trusting it. And you fall flat on your face. Where do you look? You look up at Christ. And you find His forgiveness and His strength. And you get back up and you keep walking in Him. You don't let go for anything. You don't listen to the devil who says, you've fallen, just stay down. Christ isn't what you need. You get back up and you say, that's a lie. He is all I need. And in Him I have forgiveness. He's the very thing I need right now. Because I have failed. And you get up. And you keep looking at Him. Where do you find purpose? Where do you find hope? Your health is falling apart. Where do you look to find contentment and a solid foundation and purpose through this trial? Look to Christ. He gives meaning and purpose and foundation to everything. Where do you look for strength and direction and confidence? Just walk with Jesus. Hang on to Him. And don't let go for anything or for anyone in any circumstance. Just walk with Him. Now, verse 7 goes on and explains more specifically how we are to walk with Him. And what happens as we keep walking with Him. The fact that we are built up, we grow, and we become established in the faith. But it's interesting that walking with Jesus is always linked to the truth of who He is and what He said. In verse 7, walking with Jesus is explained in terms of the faith, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught. The faith there isn't speaking of your faith, your belief. It's talking about what you've believed in. The truth of who Jesus Christ is. The stuff that they had been taught. And so walking with Jesus is explained in terms of what we have been taught. The Word of God is key to knowing about the one we are walking with. Why should I walk with Christ? Why should I trust in Him and lean on Him and turn to Him with my sins and look to Him as Lord? Why should I? Look to the Scripture and explains exactly why. He is Lord. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. You need to come to learn this and understand it fully. Be convinced of it so that you will continue to look to Him. It's so important that we understand who Jesus is. So that we can say, I can trust in Him. And then what does a life look like that walks with Him? Okay, why should I walk with Him? Look to the Scripture. It explains fully that He's the Lord. He's worthy of our walking with Him and leaning on Him. And then what does a life look like? It's interesting, this term walk appears once in each chapter in the book. Here it is in chapter 2 and chapter 1. We're told to walk worthy of our Lord. So what does a walk look like? It's a walk that's worthy of God. I want to walk in a way that's in keeping with who I am, in a way that honors Him. So I'm living, walking means living in reference to what He has said. Oh, that's what a walk looks like. And then in chapter 3, we read that you used to walk in disobedience. Walking in Christ means not walking that way anymore. And it's interesting, in chapter 4, the word appears again, and it says we're to walk in wisdom towards those who are not saved, so that we would have a chance to speak to them about Jesus Christ. And so we walk in reference to the lost. So we look to the Scriptures, the things that we've been taught to know why we should walk in Christ, why He's worthy of our following Him and trusting, and then what He said about how we are to walk. And as we do this, we are built up and established. And we'll cover more of that tonight. But for now, have you taken this first step? Have you received Jesus Christ the Lord? Have you done that? Until that happens, You are outside of Christ, and so you are separated from the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. You are separated from the only one who can bring you to God. The scripture says this in 1 Peter 3:8, that Christ suffered once for sins, the just one, the righteous one, for the unjust, the unrighteous ones, that he might bring us to God. And so if you have yet to receive Christ, take that first step of faith. Stop going your own way. Stop looking to religion or whatever it is and look fully to Christ. Until you take that first step, you are separated from God. And you are walking around. You are moving through each day, moving through making decisions, facing trials, trying to make sense of circumstances, trying to find peace and purpose, and you're doing all that disconnected from the source of spiritual life. And so you're on a faulty foundation, and that has huge ramifications for your life now. Every decision you make in reference to yourself, what you think, what you've figured out, as opposed to reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done. You'll be grasping for purposes and meaning and circumstances. You'll never really get it till you realize that Jesus Christ is the one you need to lay hold of. So it has ramifications for this life. But there are larger ramifications. Because if you are disconnected from the source of spiritual life, there is one day that your walk, your life, is going to end before God. And then you will give an account. And if you are separated from Christ, you remain under the just wrath and condemnation of God. There are eternal ramifications for being separated from Jesus Christ. Listen to what John 3:36 says. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And that is huge, because listen to what how 2 Thessalonians describes that wrath. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You don't want to end your walk before God outside of Christ. Because you stand bare and naked and exposed as a sinner before God's holy justice. And in his righteousness, he must, in keeping with his character, banish you from his presence for all eternity. That's where your walk will end up. And even if you've made some pretty good decisions and choices in this life as you've walked about, separated from Christ, and maybe you think you've got a handle on things, going your own way, your walk's going to end there. Everyone's walk ends there. And if you're outside of Christ, you are in a world of trouble, an eternity of trouble, because you're separated from the very one who is life. You need to receive Christ. It is hugely important. And if you haven't taken this first step, I exhort you, do it now. Receive Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Lord, as your Christ and your Lord. Maybe you have been coming and sitting in and listening over a number of weeks of teaching, and you begin to see what this is all about and seeing who Jesus is and what biblical Christianity is as opposed to religion. And you've yet to take the step. You need to do it. You need to do it right now. Maybe there's still some more that you're still, I just don't fully grasp this. Keep coming. Right? We're going to talk through the difference between what makes me say, I'm still not convinced that Jesus is superior and sufficient, as you've said. Well, you come, you'll see. You'll see from Scripture what sets Jesus apart from all these other philosophies, as wise and as they might seem, and as many people follow them. And I trust that ultimately, as you will submit to God's truth, that the Spirit of God will convince you of who Jesus Christ is, and that you will receive him. Well, maybe that work is happening right now. If that's the case, you receive him right now. Recognize that you're a sinner, you stand condemned before a holy God, and that Jesus Christ is your only hope. He died on the cross. He stood in your place to take your judgment upon himself. Embrace him. Welcome his gift by grace of forgiveness. Because that wrath on sin will be poured out, and it will either be poured out on Christ or it will be poured out on you. Receive him as Christ and Lord. And if you're here this morning and you've already taken the step, this is what you need to do. Right? You say, I want to live this Christian life. I've taken the step of faith. I've received him. That is true. I have done that. I've believed him. I'm a sinner. I realize that he is my Savior. He is my God. I've taken that step. Now what? Keep following him. Keep resting in him. Keep learning of him. Learn more of how he is sufficient. Learn more of his ways and how he wants you to live. And when you fall, get up and look to him. When you need to know what to do in life, look in his word and look to direction and obey and follow and never turn back. Just keep walking with him. Don't let go. Don't turn away. Don't look for any more, because truly he is all that you need. And although we will touch on this tonight, it's interesting, the end of verse 7 says, abounding with thanksgiving. When we come to see that Jesus is all that we need, a sign of that is that we're content. Our life overflows with thanksgiving because we've found Christ and we realize he's all that I need. And we just go, even, and that doesn't mean when life stinks and hard, and I know a lot of you are facing real hard things, I'm not saying, these are easy. They're not. They're hard. They're overwhelming. They bring tears and sorrow and struggle, and we're frustrating. But when we come right down to it, when we boil down our life, we stop and we think of what we have in Christ and the purpose and the hope we have in him, we can stop and we can just go, I have all I need in Christ. It's going to be all right. He'll lead me through this. He's working this for our good and his glory. I'm going to keep following him. And not even this trial will shake me from walking with him. Just keep walking with Christ. He is all you need. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that if there are those here this morning that have yet to take the first step of faith, that your Spirit would bring conviction and understanding in a way that I could never do. Only you can do this. And I pray that you would bring them to a point, even in the quietness of this moment, where they would just humble themselves before you and call out to Christ, to Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. And give all of us who are believers here this morning a better understanding of the one that we follow and how perfectly sufficient he is, and that he is all that we need. Forgive us when we become so discontent. Father, I confess that the stuff of life, I make it, it is big. It's all I see. It's the pressures and trials. And I allow that to get my eyes off of you. And then I lose the peace that is found in Christ. I lose the contentment. I lose purpose. I feel like I just want to throw in the towel. Lord, thank you for passages like this. You put in your word that reminds us to look to Jesus. He is all that we need. Help us to grow in this faith, that we would be better established in the truth of who Jesus is, so that nothing would shake us. And Father, I pray that you would even use this song to remind us of the wonderful, sufficient Savior that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. We will sing that song on the other side of